Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So I got up this morning. My wife is traveling, and I was up this morning with the kids, and we have four of them. And we went into the kitchen, and I turned on the news, and I found myself going through a sort of a mechanical series of routines that I have been repeating over the last week and a half. Got up, turned, you know, got into my clothes, I brushed my teeth, you know, combed my hair, and, you know, I say comb my hair, kind of patted it down with my hands is what I did, and went downstairs, flipped on the TV, and looked at the stock market and heard the news, and the kids came in, and I thought, you know what, I hit a wall today. I hit this kind of wall, and I said to myself, I didn't say the exact words, I said, screw them. Screw them. I know they want me to be depressed. I know they want to demoralize us. I know they got a jihad going or whatever they got going. Screw them. And I started making jokes with the kids, and I made them, you know, breakfast, and we went to school in the car, and we were laughing, and we were singing, and we were telling jokes. And for the first time in like a week and a half, I started feeling like stuff is bad, and it's been an unrelenting nightmare, and it has been unrelenting depression, but I want to start to laugh again a little bit. So as of Monday, we're going back to the Phil Hendry Show. I hope you enjoyed what we did over the last week and a half. I hope you'll stay with us for the regular show that we do. You may not. It may blow your mind. I don't know what it'll do to you. But we're going to laugh again, and we're going to have a couple of kicks. And I'm not saying we're going back to normal, as in we're not going to be vigilant and we're not going to love our country or any of those other things that I have come to appreciate. You know, I mean, I've gotten along with my wife better than ever in the last week and a half. I don't know about the rest of you guys. But we, you know, we're getting along terrifically, better than, I mean, we get along well, but it's just you see people a whole new way, and you're appreciating things a whole new way. And so, that having been said, as of Monday, that's what we're going to do. And you can visit the Phil Hendry Show website to know a little bit more about us. That's philhendryshow.com, philhendrie.com. We've been doing a variety of polls on Phil Hendry Polls America. Today's poll, as you look to the future, you are confident of victory, unsure of victory. Let's see what you guys have been voting. 74% confident of victory, 26% unsure of victory. And we also have a site where you can view polls gone by, our poll archive. And we had our poll from yesterday, and here's one that was kind of interesting. If I had some extra money, I would put it in the stock market, buy gold, spend it on luxury, put it in a coffee can, buy American flags and sell them. And everybody voted overwhelmingly, 42% put it in the stock market. And if you saw the CNN poll today, it said that 63% of the people responding to the CNN poll believe that all of the selling going on Wall Street right now is driven by panic. Here is Frank on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Frank.
Yeah, good evening, Phil. I was a former New York City cop. I retired in 1998 after spending 25 years in New York City.
Yes, sir.
On patrol.
Yes, sir.
And the problem is you can't completely blame the government, but I have to cast a little blame that these terrorists were allowed to come into this country so freely, even though many of them were wanted. 17 of these terrorists actually stayed here in my state of Florida in motels. They got driver's licenses, went to supermarkets, went to bars. And the problem is we need to have installed something to get these terrorists identified. And everyone went crazy saying their rights would be violated when they had the Super Bowl here in Tampa, Florida.
Yep.
And the Tampa Police Department used a facial video system of they videoed everybody coming in, their face, and they linked it to their criminal database bank to see if anybody would pop up wanted. Now, wouldn't it be a nice tool, since the FBI, we see all these pictures in the paper, they know who the terrorists are, we have photos of each of them. Now, why can't we digitalize them? When you go to an airport, prior to getting your seating assignment at the gate area, they take a little photo of you. And then you sit down. Then the next person gets up. And by the time all that is done, they'll know who's wanted by Interpol or the FBI. We have to turn to the Motor Vehicle Department. We can't make it where terrorists or people wanted for murder in Alabama and go to New Jersey or Connecticut or Florida, get some fake ID through a machine or on the Internet, go into a motor vehicle department office and get a license. We need to have people being fingerprinted. You get your license, your photo is taken, you should get your fingerprint placed on there. I mean, they do it in banks, they do it in supermarkets.
I don't disagree with any of this, Frank, especially when at a time of national emergency, I don't disagree with any of it. We all know that in countries there are certain emergency measures taken. Even in democracies, certain emergency measures are taken. And I keep bringing up Israel, and I don't know if it's getting through or not, but they have a variety of stop and search measures in Israel. They have a variety of pat-downs that are done in restaurants and a variety of ways of identifying people who they may think could cause some trouble. Now, here's the part that, you know, I read it yesterday that some of these guys, we were warned by the Israeli Mossad that something might happen back in the spring. And the Israeli Mossad said there was something large happening, that there was a number of people attempting to enter the country. The FBI had this information. The Justice Department had this information. But from what I read, they didn't know whether to take it seriously or they didn't have enough information to actually identify them. And I said yesterday, I said, after this whole thing is done, I pray to God it's done soon. I don't know when. Mr. John Ashcroft, the new Attorney General, I know the cat's new on a job. He might want to take a trip up there and answer some questions.
Well, you don't catch me. There was a prisoner who's doing a life sentence in Germany, and the German press reported that he had told German officials he was linked to Osama bin Laden's people, okay? And he had told them that there was a plan in place. He didn't know when it was going to come about, but it involved a major monument, okay, in the United States.
It's amazing how many guys are running their big fat mouths before this thing happened and nobody put two and two together. But you know what? Hindsight, like I say, who knows what the cops were faced with? You used to be a police officer. Thank you, Frank, for your call. And I know you could probably get scraps of information. The FBI has had, what is it? How many tips? 70,000? How do you go through that? Now, if you're getting a tip from the Israeli Mossad, I would take that seriously. I don't know. Not a cop, but I would like to ask a few questions. I think I'd like the people to represent me to ask this guy Ashcroft a few questions. Okay, so what you're thinking now again on this thing? You know, not saying anything, just what you're thinking on this deal. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Steve on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Fine.
I had to call you. My wife gets home from work, actually, yesterday, and she works at a warehouse in North Miami. And they make, she told her, the boss told her that they're starting to, next week, make costumes of Osama bin Laden. And a couple of the girls threatened to walk out.
Of the costume shop or something?
No, they supply all the costume shops. Actually, nationally.
The girls are going to walk out of where? The costume shop?
Or? Yeah, they were going to walk off the job because they think it's disgusting. And the boss said, look, you know, we dress the kids up as the devil. We dress them up as Frankenstein, you know, Hannibal Lecter. These people are all monsters. This is just another modern-day monster. The kids are going to love it. And
yeah, the
I
kids,
think it's
that's
disgusting.
Great. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you don't mind getting your ass kicked. Go ahead and get into a bin Laden costume.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, just to picture our kids walking across the, you know, the streets of America on Halloween.
Are these costumes
dressed up as Osama bin Laden? I mean, it just
are they intended for kids or are they intended for adults going to adult
costume
parties?
I'm sure they're going to make, you know,
they're going to make a little kid-sized bin Laden costume?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, let's look at it this way. Hey, all you parents out there, go out, get your kid a bin Laden costume. Yeah, that's right, brain surgeon. Put your kid into one of those. Well, I mean, what parent's going to do that and want their, if they actually want their kid to stay alive through the night?
I hope the guy takes it in the chin. I hope he loses a bunch of money on it. But, you know, it'll make me sick if these things actually sell at the stores. It really will make me sick.
What's the, well, I don't want to know the name of the store.
Well, I know. It's just he's a supplier to
of these costumes. And it was his idea to make the bin Laden costumes up?
Yeah, he said he did a research thing.
Did the girls, he did a marketing thing and people want to get it?
Yeah, he got it. He said his research showed him that it would sell. I mean, I don't know who he was polling on that, but that's...
Sounds like somebody's tooling him.
Yeah.
All right, man, thank you.
All right.
I mean, whatever. If it's an adult party, Like you know, adult costume parties, which you go to, you get into Osama bin Laden costume, go to the party. I mean, you're going to be a lot of pissed off people, but you can sit there and rap to them about, you know, what, put a little kid in one of those? Somebody's going to throw a pumpkin at him. Well, I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. What parent is going to buy that? This guy, this costume company guy has got to have a screw loose. He's got to be goofier than two coats of paint. He did marketing research and it came up thumbs up. That it's going to sell like hotcakes. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry.
Clerics and faithful in many mosques of the Mideast denounced the coming U.S. war on terrorism as a new crusade against Islam Friday, throwing President Bush's much-regretted term back at him. What regretted term was that? I don't understand. He called it a crusade against terrorism. Yeah, that is kind of a bad term to use, considering the European crusades against the Muslim nations back in the day of the Middle Eastern or the medieval days, the Middle Ages, and like, don't I sound literate trying to spit this out? The Middle Ages is what I'm saying. The 14th century. And if you want to trace this problem back, there you go. I know a lot of people don't get it.
How come they're angry at us?
There's a lot of reasons, you know. And someday we'll sit down and we'll talk all about them. Like that guy said, man, what are we doing in the Middle East? I don't know, other than to keep that oil pumping, baby. And I for one, say enough. Time to go. There's all this stuff, man. I'm hearing it. I'm hearing rumblings of it. People don't want to be inconvenienced. How long is this going to go on? You know, I flew my flag on my car antenna for 5 days. Isn't that enough? Isn't there going to be an airstrike next week? When can we get back to normal? Are you really telling me that I'm going to have to give up my SUV? I mean, the president said he's going to do something. What's he going to do? The stock market's going down. I'm losing value on my retirement fund. All this self-serving stuff keeps bubbling up here and there. Not a lot, but just, you know, just enough places to start bugging me. I think this is great. You know, no-fly zones over stadiums, heightened security. I think a lot of this we need. Regrettable as the act was, is regrettable. It doesn't even begin to cover it. As horrific as the attacks were, I think there's a lot of much-needed, appreciated, at least from this Irish Mick, stuff that's going on that I think we've needed for a long time. Okay, here's Tony on the Phil Henry Show. Is that right? Yeah, Tony.
Yeah.
How you doing? You're on.
Oh, this sounds so much better than the AM radio. First time caller. My question is,
what, you listen to us on FM?
No, I listen to you on AM. Anyways, my question is, we now have a war against terrorism, and we're going to have to beef up the country and going to put security in all these different places. We're already fighting a war. We're fighting the war against drugs, the war against the illegal aliens coming into the country. Are any of these programs going to suffer? They're all government funded. Are they all going to? Are any of them going to falter?
I don't know.
Are we?
Why are you concerned? Which war on what are you concerned about?
Well, any of them. You know the
Well, what's the point of your call then?
I'm just saying that the structure that you know that we live by.
Yeah.
Is going to be thrown into turmoil over this war that we're fighting because it's
what
all
structure
about
do we live by? What structure is that?
We're fighting all these wars right now. War against drugs. That's
got
billions
it.
Of dollars being pumped at the problem.
Right.
We're gonna pump millions of dollars to the problem of terrorism.
Probably in the billions.
In the billions. And all it takes is convince two zealots to get on a plane and crash it into another building. We're fighting a war, throwing money at it.
What would you suggest instead of throwing money at it? Would you like to volunteer and go over there and get bin Laden?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that would be about as effective as a G-string in a snowstorm sending you, Tony. No offense. So we got to get serious. We can sit here and pull it all day long, or we get serious about what it is we need to do. So I'm still trying to figure out what it is you want to ask or say.
The money that we're spending.
Yeah, you're all about money, aren't you? So what's the problem? What's the problem?
How is this going to affect us in the long run?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
How
is it going to affect what? Be specific.
I'm talking about the government-sponsored programs.
Yes, sir, I got that. The government-sponsored programs.
That are using up billions of dollars.
Understood.
How are they going to be affected during and after this war?
So I'm asking you, are you concerned about which war? The war on drugs? Which one are you worried about? Are you worried about it?
I'm worried about the
You're worried
structure.
About being able to pay for the war on drugs?
Yes.
You are?
Okay.
Because that's an important
war
to you?
That's one.
All right, you want to make sure that is maintained, that war on drugs?
Yes.
You do? Okay. And then the other thing that we got going, you mentioned one other thing. Some other war on what was it?
Illegal aliens in the country.
The illegal alien thing. We got to maintain that too, right? And we have a war on terrorism. Looks like we got problems, doesn't it?
Yes.
I guess we're going to have to get some money for those problems.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you're kicking in, man. How do you feel?
I have been kicking in.
Well, it looks like you're going to kick in some more. I know I am.
I'm there.
There you go, brother. That's how we're going to do it. It looks like, and the president said it, everybody's going to be required a little sacrifice. We'll see whether this country's up for it or not. You know, I've been hearing a lot of big talk. We'll see whether or not this generation has got the balls for anything even approaching saving this nation from a variety of the problems that it has.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on.
Okay. I'm 22 years old. Our generation has not had something that we can actually say we prove ourselves. I've heard that things going on around the country, protests against war, you know, turn the other cheek, pull out of the Middle East.
Yeah, you know, flag waving is a beautiful thing. I love it. I do it with the best of them. But we're talking about kicking in, whether it means in terms of we're going to have to suffer through a tax hike to pay for a lot of these programs, or whether we're going to have a few freedoms infringed upon. You know, I can go out and flag wave with the best of them. But there's going to be some dues to pay. It doesn't have to be painful. But what if it is painful? What if it is? Are you still there?
You're
still hanging with it?
That's the price we have to pay for freedom.
Well, I mean, that may be it. And
for freedom, would we give up we give up the war on drugs?
Well, it's a big movie so far to a lot of people. It's a big movie starring Denzel Washington and all of our favorite movie. It hasn't hit home as reality yet to a lot of people. The flag waving is a beautiful thing. But we'll see whether or not. You know, I got to be honest with you. I'm hearing a lot of big talk, but we'll see.
We shall see.
All right, man. Thanks for your call. Well, you know, war on drugs. Maybe we'll have to give up the war on drugs. Maybe we'll have to give up the war on terrorism. Did you think about this one? Or on the immigration? Did you think about this, though? Maybe the Border Patrol, maybe the situation with immigration will be benefited by the war on terrorism, insofar at least that we're going to have a more secure border. I'm not talking about the people coming from Mexico being terrorists or criminals. I'm simply saying that the security that would come from a beefed up war on terrorism or a secure border might have a positive effect in that area. But we'll find out in the days and the weeks to come just exactly what kind of a stomach the American people have got for all of this. Because if there isn't another attack, and if it looks like everything's going to calm down, and if it looks like everything is just hunky-dory, maybe we're going to start, I don't know how to say this delicately, maybe we're just going to start to soften a little bit. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen an attack lately. Maybe everything's okay, and we don't have to spend all this money. We'll find out. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back in a minute.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
And our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. That's our website. You can go, you can look, you can see. We got some cool stuff on the website that I did want to tell you about. We have a trivia game. We have a downloadable poster of Uncle Sam, Mr. Bin Laden, your table is ready. We have our Phil Hendry Polls America. We've got our sound archives. We have our House of Fun. We have our affiliates list. We have a way for you to live stream the show should you be out of town, not near your local affiliate, and you'd like to listen to us. We have, for instance, our Fun House. The Fun House has games like Whack-a-Hendry. This is weird. This is stuff that Bill came up with. I got no... You know, I don't necessarily, endorse it. I mean, it's this weird-ass game where I'm like a gopher and I'm going through somebody's backyard. I might want, I don't know. There's another, there's an online version of True Talent or Sack of Crap. There's a, as I said, artwork, including a Nathan Duke gallery where he has different caricatures of the characters that we have on our show. And I'm not so sure that I endorse all of them in terms of what I think the characters look like. But, yeah, it's a nice thought. So go to philhendryshow.com, find out all about us. Here is Kevin on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, Phil?
How are you, Kevin?
All righty. First time caller. I like your show and everything.
Thank you.
All right, but I think you were kind of hard on that one guy that called in, and you were telling him that if he doesn't like you here, if he wants a king or a dictator, he needs to go to one of those countries and stay.
Well, it sounded like he wanted security more than anything else.
Well, it's not that, but I mean, I was in the military, and I was stationed overseas, and I was stationed in Panama, for example, and... I was with them for 3 years, okay? And you have to learn one thing, though. I'm not dogging the media, and I know you're in the media industry, but you have to take things with a grain of salt when you're looking at stuff on television. Because, first of all, our government is only going to tell you what they want you to know, okay? Because being over 3 years and talking to a lot of Panamanians, you know, find the deal behind Noriega and stuff like that, and Noriega was guilty of a lot of stuff. He did commit murder. I mean, you know, he was involved in drugs and everything like that. But you also got to understand, we got politicians in America in the office right now to do the same thing. You know, and I mean, their laws.
Okay, but I noticed something, Kevin. As soon as you said that, you ran out of steam.
Well, no.
So all you're doing is you're saying they're bad, we're bad, and boom, there we go, and that's where we stop.
But you got also, you also got to understand something. But his point was on some of their laws that they have in their country, and I agree with some of their laws. For example, if you're in prison in Panama, okay, they give you one meal. You get one meal. The other two meals that you get, your family provides them. If you need medical attention, your family provides them. Okay, what's the point of being convicted of a murder, okay?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with that. That sounds pretty good.
Okay, but here in the States, though, it's a whole different ballgame. What's the point of being convicted of a murder, sitting on death row for 13 years before you get executed? That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's one of the things that makes us stand out from the rest of the world.
When
you know,
my taxpayer dollars are paying for it.
I understand that.
Okay,
but,
and then you. Okay, my other beef with the country is, and don't get me wrong, I'm very patriotic. Like I said, I was in the service, and I'm willing to go back if things start to get rough.
Right.
But another thing is, though, you have people, I'm not discriminating against anybody because I am Afro-American, okay? But Mexicans, for example, they come to this country on a work visa. They work 10, 15 years over here. They go back home. They live like kings. I got to work two jobs to support myself. They're not paying any taxes on their money. Let's face facts. Our dollar system is way better than theirs.
Well, yes, they are paying taxes on their money.
That's not true.
No, it is true.
A couple people from
Honduras. They're getting cash under the table, but if they are employed by the UFW, they got to pay Social Security tax. Many of them are paying Social Security taxes that they never benefit from.
No, we're not talking about under the table. They're here on a work visa. Okay.
Yeah, if they're here on a work visa, they're paying taxes. You better believe it. It's the truth.
All right.
I hate to break the news. And so, look, but you know what? You're right. I mean, look, the immigration thing, man, that's a drag. We've been using that sort of as an excuse, if you'll forgive me, for a lack of American ingenuity in taking these jobs over for ourselves. I mean, look at Kevin. I live in California, and out here we have a horse racing industry. And I don't know if you've been to the horse races?
No. Well, okay.
Yeah, the thoroughbred races, right? Uh-huh. Well, down here at Del Mar, down on the beach, we have a racing plant called the Del Mar Racetrack, and a lot of people go there and like to bet on the horses. The INS raided Del Mar not too long ago, several years ago, and busted all the hot walkers, busted all the stable boys, busted everybody. They had to shut the meat down. They didn't have a business. And the fact of the matter is that, at least in this state, illegal or legal, immigrants from Mexico keep a lot of businesses going.
I agree with you. And they're hard workers, don't get me wrong. But my whole point is, though, is this country going to start taking care of itself first?
We're trying,
then
man. We're trying.
About the next person.
You know, you're so right. You know, this is a unique place. You ask about death row. The only country in the world that has people sit on death row and we have appeal after appeal after appeal. To me, when I see that, it says maybe we've got some respect for human life here that they just don't have in other countries. I don't know. I could be wrong. You know?
Okay, so I got a buddy that's a judge, okay? And I had an argument with him for about a half hour in this whole debate. And he's trying to tell me that all laws have to be the same. My argument is this, okay? If you get convicted of a murder, okay, don't get me wrong. We're not going by...
You know, we're having a nice conversation.
...evidence, okay, that you got convicted for... Okay, we're talking about an example. The best example I gave him was, if you're shooting it out with a cop, with two cops, and you kill one of his, and you kill him, there's eyewitnesses there, the cop is there, and let's say facts, all cop cars got cameras in them, okay? We got you, okay? Why do you get to sit on death row for 13 years, wasting my taxpaying dollars, okay, on
it's
an appeal?
It's a lot of, it's
we
a
know
load.
You were guilty from
all
the
all right, jump. It may be a nutty thing. It may be goofy. I mean... You know, all of these things are interesting conversations that we can have and debate in our houses of our representatives. But in comparison to living in a country where the women are brutalized, where there's no child labor laws. I mean, come on.
Where
a woman can't walk out of her house without being a cop. Wait a second. I'll let you have your say on death row and all these other things that are wrong with America. I mean... Look, the world is, if you want to compare it to anything, the world is a lump of crap, okay? And the best piece of that lump of crap happens to be America. Or, if you want to look at it a more positive way, it's a wonderful place, and we happen to be the luckiest bastards in the world because we're living in the most wonderful of all the wonderful places. But the point is, this guy was talking about all these laws in Saudi Arabia that he was really digging. There's no rape, there's no this, there's no that. Yeah, it's a kingdom, for crying out loud. Now, you can live in a kingdom where you have no essential civil rights, or you live in a country and run the risk of the things that we have to run the risk with here. Look, it's a free society, as we like to say. It's a free country. A lot of people are getting away with a lot of crap. I agree with you, Kevin. I don't like it. We now have a situation where we have a national emergency. A lot of that stuff might get cooled out in just the mere fact that a certain martial... standards are going to be set. Certain security measures are going to be in place because we're a country under attack right now. But you can either live in Saudi Arabia or the Taliban or whoever these guys are that this guy thought was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he just couldn't wait to put down Israel, which seems to be the sport these days. A country trying to survive. A democratic society. I asked a guy the other night, I says, you name me one Arab democracy. Go ahead, name me an Arab democracy. He had to think, and he finally came up with Lebanon, which has been a democracy for about 4 minutes, still overrun with Syrian troops, still overrun with Druze militia, still overrun with Christian militia. Israel's been sitting there practicing a way of life where they even have Arab members of their Knesset, okay? They have Arab citizens in Israel since 1948. But this guy is all ready to tell me about Saudi Arabia this and Syria that and the Taliban something else, and there's not a one of them that trusts their people enough to let them have a say in government. Now, what the hell kind of a choice is that?
But the thing about it is...
Now you got on your speakerphone because you went away and made a sandwich, didn't you?
Oh, no.
All right, okay, look, I appreciate it. I do have to run because you got on the speakerphone, and that gives me an excuse to go. I appreciate your comments, sir. Here is Allison on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Allison.
Hi. My idea is to save up money, fly over to the Middle East, and just take them out with baseball bats.
Well, there you go.
All of America.
I wish I would have thought of that. That's great.
The people in the front will get to see his face. The people in the back will live.
What's that?
The people in the front will get to see their faces, and the people in the back will live.
The people in the front will get to see their faces?
The enemy, the terrorists.
Yeah.
When we come at them with the baseball bats.
Yeah. That's your idea, Allison? All right, well, you write that down, and you mail that off to the president now, okay?
Okay. Have a nice day.
Yeah, okay, that's great. I bet you that material really flies, man, where you're from. Here is JR on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, JR. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great.
First time I'm calling.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say hello, and I want to say I'm a foreigner here, and
yeah.
This that happened to America made me cry. And I guess what we need to do is we need to realize why they get called terrorists. They get called terrorists because they live out of terrorism. And what we need to do is whatever money we have, we got to go spend it. If we're going to buy a house, go buy a house. If we're going to buy a car, go buy a car. If we need to send money to our government, let's send money to our government. If we need to pay more taxes, let's pay more taxes. But we have to attack these people like a cancer. We either exterminate it or they'll kill us. So it's better for us to go and exterminate them. I'm sorry just to use the word exterminator because Hitler exterminated a lot of Jewish people.
Yeah.
And that's not the right way to say it. But we need to eradicate them.
And, yes, sir.
And we just need to be aware that that's what they want to do. They want to terrorize us.
Yes, sir.
We need to forget about that and just press forward.
All right, buddy.
Support our government and let's go.
We'll go for it, man. Thanks, JR.
All right.
All right, pal. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. You know, pardon me, we don't have any call screen because I was screaming at Mike. So he's got to run back in there and screen some phone calls for us. But I have things to say. None of them are really important and not particularly intelligent, maybe not even funny, but I got things to say. First of all, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Give us a call. Secondly, you notice how perhaps you have a little less time for people who want to point out how America is just as bad as other countries. You know, so you got just a little less time for that right now. I don't deny that that is the case. You know, like I said yesterday, the time is going to come when we're going to have to pay the piper on some of the crap that we've done. We're paying the piper right now in many ways. And I don't mean that those people who died, those innocent people who died, should have died. But I'm saying, as you all know, there is a cause and there is an effect. That is life. Cause and effect. Everything has a cause and everything has an effect. Now, this bin Laden guy, this is a guy who is a waste of life. This is a guy taking up space. Now, that guy, like any rabid dog, needs a quick, perhaps merciful end. I think it would be a humanitarian thing to take him out. I think it would be good for him to go meet Allah now. Go tell Allah all the great things you've done. Now is the time for you to just go. And I think it would be humanitarian. Now, here's America. We've been walking all over the world for the last 200 years, especially the last 100 years, ever since we got the notion we were some kind of world power. And we've been crapping on a few people, no doubt about it. But right around these times, I don't have a whole lot of time to discuss that. I've been talking about it my whole life. Nobody wanted to listen. All my whole life I've talked about, we shouldn't be in Vietnam. It's a corporation war. It's a civil war. It's a Pentagon war. It's a Defense Department war. It's got nothing to do with the defending human liberty. And the Gulf War, I'm suspicious of that. It has more to do with oil and entanglements there than anything else. And my whole life, you know, my whole life talking about that stuff. Today, I don't want to talk about it. Now everybody wants to talk about it. Hey, America did this and America did that and there's this and that and people are doing this and people are doing that and we crapped all of it. Guess what? You had your chance, man. I had my chance. It's over. Nobody wants to hear that crap. The other thing I want to say is from that call earlier in the half hour. I don't know why, but that one guy just got me thinking. It's just, we're just going to wait and see. You know, if you want to call up and worry about who's going to pay for the war on terrorism, if that's the first question out of your mouth, then just lie down, have a nap, and get back to us in 10 years, will you? And if the first question out of your mouth is you don't want your taxes to be raised, you best just step off, because I don't want to hear that crap either. Okay, and you know, they used to say to us, America, love it or leave it. I used to say, hey, I got a right to say what I want to say in this country. I'm an American, okay? But, you know, these days, I ain't got any favor. I don't have any patience for that. If you think it's better in Saudi Arabia because they got really cool laws against rape and strangulation and masturbation and defenestration and everything else, then I suggest you move there. There, I just said it. I said what my dad used to say. My father used to say that. Maybe you'd like to try to live in Russia. But if you don't even like the fact that the United States is giving money to Israel and has all these policies, and you know, if you're one of these paranoid mountain men, if you're one of these no government on my back kind of guys, these days there's a whole lot of government around, brother. Whole lot of government around. Whole lot of shaking going on, my man. I don't like the government. I don't want to pay taxes, and I think the less government, the better. Well, it's going to be a whole lot of damn government. We'll see. That's what I mean. We'll just see. We'll see who cares and who doesn't. We'll find out who the patriots are. We'll find out who the people are that love their country. So far, it's a whole lot of hot air. And that's it. Talk, 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 man. We got that in spades around here. And the other thing we know how to do is wave a flag with the best of them. We'll see. Because this country is like a country that is passed from hand to hand. You know, it's like a, I don't know, a bucket of water in those fire brigades that you've seen, you know. And one generation has it for a while, and then they pass it on to the next. And one generation, and then another generation, then another generation. Who's the guy that's going to drop the bucket and spill the water? It's going to be us? Because if I hear any more of this stuff about, I don't want any more taxes, and I want to pay for the war on terrorism, and I don't, and I think that the America's caused a lot of problems, and we really need to look at ourselves, and get, you know, first things first. If you hear any more of that stuff, you want to scream. Maybe I'll move. Because if I'm in a country full of lightweights and panty waists like that, screw it, I'll go to Ireland. I'll go back to wherever it is my ancestors came from. I think it's Ireland, but I'm not sure. We'll see, my brother. I noticed the flags flying from the cars, they've been thinning out a little bit lately. Thinning out a little bit. War ain't started soon enough for you? President Bush didn't say the right words to make all of those squirrels on Wall Street feel good and start buying stocks again? That's a freaking squirrel cage up there, man. Is it a little scary? You worried? The guy next door look a little too Arabic? Are you not ready to serve your country? You're not ready to care about your country? Are you been worried too much about your family or where you're going to get your next penthouse to understand that you actually live in a nation, live in a community with other people, and that kind of freaks you out? Is that your problem, booby? Well, the time has come, man. You know what they say? People don't choose history. History chooses. History is pointing its finger at us right now. History's pointing its finger at us right now. And in 50 years' time, if they write a book and they write down a history of the late great America and they say it was the generation at the turn of the millennium, they just didn't have the balls. Good for us, huh? Greatest Generation, World War II, Depression-era people, Civil War. Yeah, they all had the cojones. But the people at the turn of the millennium, all them baby boomers and Gen Xers, no balls. And they let the country get away. They spilled the bucket, man. All right, having dutifully offended you, please watch the telethon tonight at 9. If we're in tape delay in some markets, the telethon was at 9. And this is the Phil Hendry Show. And come Monday, we'll just get right back to all the fun and games like you all want us to, okay? Phil Hendry Show.